I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Loud noises!
I know kung fu.
This is madness!
Where are you?
Hello and welcome everyone to episode 81 of the 8-Bit Geek Podcast. Please, please take your seats, silence your cell phones. Remember that a bright device in a dark theater can create a huge distraction. Yeah, I'm talking to you, a-hole. I am the annoyed moviegoer Jeremy. With me are the two biggest trendsetters of 2014.
Doug.
Kevin.
Both their names are just Doug Kevin.
What?
Dog Kevin. Today's show will be full of raccoons and trees that talk.
I am Groot.
I just could not believe he, you know, when I first heard that that's all he would say, I did not know that Vin Diesel could pull so much emotion out of just three words.
And you didn't need subtitles.
Yeah.
It was like Han and Chewie sort of thing going on.
It really was.
But we will talk about that soon enough.
Soon enough. Please, please, please follow us on social media. Let us know how much you love us or hate us. We will respond with some sexting pics. That's at the 8-Bit Geek on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagrammy. Before we get the show started, I do want to bring up a couple more things that we brought up last week. Jonathan Vila is still in the hospital. He is on a breathing machine, if that is correct. Right, Doug?
That is what I believe I read earlier. Just like a ventilator or something like that. Just to help him breathe. Not necessarily. It's not like on life support.
Okay, good.
Just need some assistance in the breathing department.
Awesome. And so he's got his eyes open. He's moving. So he is recovering. But his funds are going... The recovery cost is through the roof. If you don't know who he is, and this is your first time listening to the show, Jonathan Vila is known as the San Antonio Aquaman. He goes around to hospitals, makes kids happy. He attends all the cons. A lot of people love what he does. And if you'd like to give to his cause for his recovery, please go to www.giveforward.com. And in the search bar, just search for Aquaman, and you will find him there. So,
yeah. And we'll put a link in our show notes and all that fun stuff, too.
We will definitely do that. The other thing I wanted to bring up is last week we brought up a Kickstarter that we are fully behind. We think it's very cool art. He's making some T-shirts out of some 80s video games. How can we say no to that? Mm-hmm. Some arcade games from the 80s that you may not have remembered just lost. So it's very good, cool art. Go to it. His name is Kyle Kubik. And I believe I said his name right last week, and I think I said it again here today correctly. You can go to Kickstarter, look for his name, or you can look for Arcado. Search Arcado. We'll also have the link in the show notes as well. Donate to that. Get a T-shirt for $25, and that's a good cause.
I believe we're in like the last week of this. I think last week we were at like 17, 16 days or so. And I think at this point, I mean, that was a week ago. So got to be coming in the last week here. So let's get that shirt funded.
Get it funded. Also, if it gets funded, I will say right now that Kevin has not agreed to this, but I'm going to force him to. He will live on next week's show, if this gets funded, he will try to recreate the same art in his chest hair. Okay. So,
I don't have enough chest hair, but we can try. Maybe some Sharpies might have to work. We'll have to see that. Well, we might have to have some help on that one. We'll see.
So, get it funded.
Something to look forward to.
And Kevin's looking forward to whatever we do to his body.
Not really.
It always is.
All right. Well, every week, everybody knows that we do a little thing around here called misconnections. This is where we try to hook up people who have maybe not had the balls to do it themselves in person, and they're feeling kind of sad because they've lost their love. We try to reconnect them in misconnections.
You were a blonde half Asian with a bad case of gas. Find that love connection that we
And everything was going right until this point. I don't have the music queued up, so you're going to have to just give me 1 second. I know. Everything was going good up until this point. Just do some noises. Just do some noises. I have it in a second. Here it is. Here we go.
Wait, did you get it?
Sounds like a ocean.
Yeah.
I got it. I got it. I just haven't made it on the board yet. I haven't put it on the board, so that's what I still got to do. All right, this week, we got some pretty pretty nice ones. The last one is awesome because I believe we have two people who are looking for each other in Milwaukee.
No, I feel like we should do something about this.
This is going to be great. So we'll read that at the end. But right now, Superwoman is trying to find Clark Kent, the female Clark Kent, at Comic-Con. Huh? Wait, what? How does this...
No, a dude is looking for a Superwoman female Clark Kent at Comic-Con.
So okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it now.
The dude saw something.
It's a dude... The gender, okay. The dude, I read this... I read... Yeah.
So much.
I read this earlier, and so that's why I'm getting confused, because they both are the same... You'll understand. All right. Usually I go with the... Last week I was inspired by you guys, and usually I go for the whole sexy thing, but I believe this guy may be... I'm going to go a little nerdy on here, okay? I was inspired. Sunday morning, the last day of Comic-Con. I was standing with friends, a couple with a toddler meeting Batman, outside an old spaghetti factory at 5th and K, wearing a black Finn's arcade t-shirt. You stopped to talk wearing a Superman shirt underneath the open dress shirt, tie askew, glasses, Clark Kent in the process of saving the day. We talked about the time I wore the same costume. Tell me the costume tip I mentioned about the necktie, and I know it's you. I enjoyed talking with you geek to geek, and had a good feeling about you, but I didn't ask for your contact information until 30 seconds after you left with the lost in the and got lost in the crowd. Apparently, my superpowers don't include finding one person in the Comic-Con horde.
Oh, come on, you can make it
I would have tried...
You're so close, man.
I would have tried a bat signal to get your attention, but Wong franchise. Hope this finds you like a message in a bottle or a bottle city of Kandor.
you sounded like
Mike Tyson,
like Adam Sandler doing Cajun Boy.
Oh,
meets like Jimmy Fallon because of the laughing.
Yeah,
I couldn't. It's so good. I mean, like he went, like he was going, like he was all smooth in the beginning, and then all of a sudden, apparently, superpowers don't include finding one person. I would have tried a bat signal too.
You kind of almost sound like Quipke.
Mike Quipke? Yeah.
Yeah, was it Kripke or whatever from Big Bang Theory? But yeah,
not Mike Kripke. Yeah.
Who wants the next one?
I'll take it. All right.
Not everyone at once.
But yeah. I want the next door one.
Oh, okay, I can rock that. Gave me a bag at Comic-Con, male for female, 28. Hi, on the last day of con, I asked you for a bag. You kindly snuck me one under the table. I was actually extremely attracted to you, but I played it cool, because it was only like 15 minutes till the place closed, and I assumed you just wanted to go home after 4 days. You looked amazing, and it was so cool of you to give me a bag. I know there were literally like 5 left or something. I hope you see this, beautiful.
I just want to point out that I don't think he cares so much about the woman, but he loves that damn
he
bag.
Really into that bag.
He really loves it.
I think he found his misconnection. That bag.
Let me tell you about this bag. I wanted to see what else he would say. Like, what's the bad colors? What's it got on it? What's the brand?
This is you. Tell me which bag it is.
Yeah.
What was in that bag to make it so desirable was what I want to know. And why wasn't her phone number
table? That's funny. All right, Doug, take us next door.
All right. This is next door neighbor. Male for women in Des Moines.
Who lives in Des Moines?
Fucking no one.
This guy.
These two people, and they're still going to miss this connection. You live right next door.
Do I?
Yeah, you have kids and in a relationship, and I'm in a relationship, but I think about having you all the time. Mm. We had discussions. And you seem to be into the rougher things, which is perfect for me. You are or were into cosplay. Right back if you're interested. Just come next door.
Yeah, why don't you? I mean, listen, if you guys can talk about being into the rougher things, why can't you talk about hooking up?
Yeah,
right. Why?
Why are you going to Craigslist?
We just got to keep it discreet.
So these last two, as we said in the beginning of this segment, these two are looking for each other, and they may not even know it yet. Okay. They both posted to the same area on Craigslist, Missed Connections, in Milwaukee. Who wants to play the guy? Who wants to play the girl?
I'll play the guy.
Okay.
I'll play the woman.
All right.
Oh, I'm first.
Yeah, you're...
I didn't... Guy at Lounge 42, woman for man, 22...
Hey girl.
Hi. Does anyone know or remember that cute light skin guy at 42 Lounge? He didn't cosplay. Lol. He didn't need to. T-O-O. He's about 5'6 to 5'10 and was wearing a gray shirt and came with an Asian guy who was also cute. Winky face.
5'6 to 5'10 is such a huge fucking difference.
That's pretty broad.
That is literally... anybody else that was there.
There was probably 42 people there that fucking looked at.
Let's hear a cool guy.
All right, so this is 42 Lounge, male for women, 23, Milwaukee.
Stepping to the plate.
Hold on, let me throw down my specs for you. I'm 23, I'm athletic, I'm 5'10".
Oh, she was right in the range, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to miss that fish in a barrel.
You're between 5 foot and 7'3". So you're not a hobbit and you're not a giant. So you're somewhere in there. You kind of had a light tannish kind of black skin.
Sorry.
Really got Jeremy.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
All right. Here we go. Here's this guy.
Okay.
A lot of cute girls at 42 Lounge for the cosplay party. I wonder if any of them girls remember me, and I hope I was one of the cute guys. I came with a friend. So guess who I am and rate me.
Rate me?
Rate,
not rape.
Rate me?
Rate me?
Or rape me, whatever. Play's gotta play.
I got nothing on that one, dude.
My goodness.
My friend.
So
half Asian.
So those two.
Half black.
I would be highly.
Half Mexican.
I'd be highly amazed if those two didn't hook up by now.
Yeah.
So if you have or want to make a misconnection and have us read it live on the air, please send it to us on Facebook, Twitter. I'm really surprised that we don't have submissions from Katie. Last week we put it out there that Katie would probably make them for all of us, and yet we have nothing from that direction. But hey,
yep.
I'm not going to hate. Just saying.
Whatever.
There is so much geeky comic book news coming out this week. It's insane. It's almost like it's not Hollywood anymore where they're making just normal films. It just seems like it seems like pretty much just Hollywood is all about the comics now, which is great.
Hey, man. That's what's making money.
I'm all for it. So without
further
ado,
good, yeah.
Let's hit up some movie news. It's the most spectacular, magnificent, and important news you'll hear all day. Or not.
Nope.
All right, guys. So we have news that the Venom movie that is rumored to come out before Spider-Man in the year 3022 is going to be called Venom Carnage. And that only means one thing, guys.
A hokey sitcom with Venom and Carnage.
They're roommates. It's the odd couple.
Who do you think's the messy one? I think Carnage is the messy one.
No, that's where they get you. It's a reverse.
It's actually Venom.
Yeah, Venom's the real messy one, and Carnage is always, he's just really tidy.
Carnage equals clean freak.
And Venom is always leaving his black residue on the bathroom floor. Carnage comes in, he's like, again. And cue laughter from the audience.
I would watch it so much.
So as everybody knows, we talked about it last week, they're really trying to get this whole Sinister Six off the ground. Carnage isn't part of the Sinister Six, but they are definitely trying to get as much off the ground as possible, kind of in the way that the Superman movie is doing now with Batman versus Superman. They're trying to set it up real quick for a large-scale movie with all these different villains, so that way they can follow Marvel in what they're doing. So Fox really has a big stable and of with just the Spider-Man franchise with their licensing. Sony really has a huge stable, like as many probably characters as, I mean, damn near what Marvel's put out so far on film. So they really could hit home runs every time if they do it correctly.
For the most part, but they have more villains than they have heroes, I think.
True.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Spider-Man's got, you know, a few other friends, but you know, the Avengers is pretty much, you just, the Avengers is one of those crews where you're just like, oh, what? Man,
the
we can't make it, so we're gonna throw in, you know, just some fucking other random person because we have the rights to him because we're Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make a movie about him. Guardians of the Galaxy.
I am trying to look it up right now. My son watches the show The Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh man, someone just straight up just answered your call out on Twitter.
Please read it and I'll I will gladly.
All right, we got a female seeking three males for geeky foursome action.
Yes.
Dress as your favorite superhero and send me a selfie if you're into it.
That's awesome.
Let's go.
No. Oh.
Oh, did he? Oh, he took off his shirt.
He just took off his shirt.
Oh my God, this is gonna be the best wedding of all time. Because if it's gonna go down, that's where it's happening.
Wait,
what?
When are you?
What?
I think I scared the dog.
Did I lose everybody? Or
like, the fuck is happening?
He's used to a lot of weird shit in this house.
Okay, so here is the. Here's the deal. We have in the superhero kind of world where for Spider-Man, there's Nova. There's White Tiger. There is Iron Fist, Power Man. And is it Thundra? I want to say Thundra, maybe. But those are the heroes that they can work with.
But isn't Nova... Nova's not the same Nova from Guardians. No,
I don't think so. But
I thought he had some tie into the whole Nova Prime people.
Oh,
I could be wrong. I don't know.
Now, and this is just coming from, of course, the Spider-Man universe that is happening right now on the TV show. So that's all my knowledge for it. I could be wrong, but and I could be wrong too because that licensing could be different for cartoons.
It's Marvel Animation, and that once again falls back to Marvel.
So, who? I mean, you know, maybe they only can have Spider-Man for superheroes, but who knows?
Yeah.
We have more news on Spider-Man. It is, we will see a Spider-Man, the Spider-Man franchise will see a female-driven spinoff in 2017. So,
yep. Yeah. Yeah.
No, not excited?
No, what I'm excited about is that finally we're going to get a superhero movie with a lead female character. I mean, I'd say finally we had Elektra, but hopefully they'll take it seriously this time and we'll get a good one. However, it's Sony. And so while I have enjoyed the Spider-Man movies, the Amazing Spider-Man movies, I did enjoy all of them. When you compare them to what Marvel could do if Marvel would get off their ass and make a lead female
superhero movie. Which they both DC and Marvel have commented on this.
No, I know. And like the thing is like they just
DC said
both
that
of them, DC's just sort of said you can't make money off of female heroes. Yeah. Which is fucking stupid because what is the biggest like one of the
Hunger
biggest
Games.
Franchises? Exactly. Hunger Games.
Like, ask anybody
if you don't think women
yeah,
can't
seriously.
Make money.
Ask anybody from the Twilight series, the Hunger Games, Divergent. That's the only things come off the top of my head, but
any horror movie from the 80s, who were always a survivor? People, women, they kicked the shit out of Jason, Freddy, Michael Myers.
And
Marvel's head said
the problem is that they see these movies where they've done, I mean, obviously over and over again, you've got Batman, you've got Superman, you have the X-Men at this point, although that has female characters too, but you have all these main lead male characters. And even if a movie sucks, like the Spider-Man ones or Daredevil, because you know Marvel got Daredevil back and now they're making their show. The problem is that like even if the movie sucked or they suck or is continue to suck, it's a fucking cash cow because people fucking eat this stuff up. Like seriously, Daredevil sucked, but you know it still made bank. Now, however, they did a crappy spinoff and they just did it to rush it out to make money, and they made a shitty movie with Elektra, and like that sucks because. You know, everyone just, they look at that. They look at, like, man, Batman makes a ton of money. Superman makes a ton of money. You know, but then they look, oh, Elektra. Well, Elektra failed. Well, yes, because you made a fucking shitty movie.
It wasn't very good. So,
but again, look at what you can do when you have, like, phenomenal storytelling with phenomenal actresses. I mean, you get the fucking Hunger Games and you get, like, series that people actually give a shit about. You're fucking rolling the dough, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And, I mean, DC. Annoys me. DC flat out said they don't make money. Marvel came out and they kind of sidestepped it. They just said that they don't have the time for it right now with all the films that they have in production.
It's, like I can see that for sure. And plus they've got Agent Carter and all that stuff
yeah,
coming out. I mean like they do have it's just one of those again, yeah, they've set up this huge universe and I can see where.
And the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is really more woman driven than it is male.
Yeah, and you know when you start crossing over these universes, and you've got Gamora, and then you've also got Black Widow, and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got some fucking
you've
awesome
got some strong
kick-ass
females,
women
yeah.
characters.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then so this right here is Sony's attempt, and they are going to. They said that the two main options, the best options that we would see, would be Spider-Woman or Black Cat.
Mm-hmm. And they hint at Black Cat in the last movie, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yes. Yes.
I think
yes.
they did, yeah. I think they did. All right, so moving on to some Marvel news. Kevin Feige.
Wait. That's
Feige. That's what I said. That's what I said.
No, I think it's like Feige or something like that.
Yeah, it's Kevin Feige. Says that Thanos is to the Marvel Universe as the Emperor is to Star Wars. That's a pretty big that's a pretty cool thing to say. I like that a lot.
It's huge. And this is something I think we'll get into later when we start kind of breaking down and comparing the movies a little bit when we get into our spoilerific.
Yeah. Listen to this. We will say it right now since we're in the middle of the Marvel here. We will say this. At the end of the show, we are going to talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy in What Are You Watching? So please stay tuned for that. We didn't talk about it here at the beginning of the show because we want to get through all this news and everything. But also, we don't want to spoil it for anybody who still wants to enjoy the show. So it's going to be on the tail end of the show, and it'll keep you here, honestly, too. So stay tuned for that. We'll bring that to you, and we'll talk a lot more about Thanos and everything GOTG.
Cool.
So... Thanos, I mean, I think we can all see that with him being the Emperor.
Oh, sure. I mean, like, the Emperor in the original movies, I mean, like, I don't think you see him at all in A New Hope, and then he has, like, a little bit part in Empire Strikes Back, and then the third one is when you, like, actually see him
in the flesh for the first time,
like, doing stuff.
And I
feel like that's what they've done with Avengers, and now they're setting it up. You see him a little bit at the very end of Avengers, and you see him just a little bit in this one, and then...
I will say this as well. With what you saw in Guardians of the Galaxy, I honestly 100% thought that was makeup.
Yeah.
And I come to find out it wasn't.
Well, it was probably all mocap on his face.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And that was insane because I just... Okay, we'll talk more about that later. We'll talk more about that later. Yeah. So, as we all know, Guardians of the Galaxy is a huge success in its first weekend. We'll tell you the numbers here coming up soon. But the director, James Gunn, and the writer, of course, has spent, instead of celebrating this whole huge event, that taking characters that no one knew about and making them just huge.
Household names.
And household names. He spent the weekend working on the sequel.
Yeah. And you know what's even, you know, and on top of that, I think it was today or yesterday was his birthday. What a fucking great weekend for him.
Yeah.
Like,
for real, like, happy birthday.
Like, happy fucking birthday.
You've
to
just
me,
secured
bitches.
The next. I mean, that's the thing. Happy birthday. You've just secured the next 10 years of your life for work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so awesome. So, yeah, he's having a wonderful weekend. But
I'm really grateful for him, man. He's been a kick-ass director since, like, I loved, like, some of his earlier stuff. He wrote for Tromeo and Juliet, which was, I used to love Troma so much. Like, and he also, like, now I can't remember it, of course, because I'm on the spot about it, but Slither. Unbelievable movie. Fantastic movie.
I loved it. I watched it, I think, for the first time either 2 years ago or maybe last year. I don't remember. Pretty recently, and I remember just watching it and just being like, why did I wait so long? This was a fucking great movie.
Yeah. Did you know
between
that
him and Joss Whedon doing Marvel movies were in good hands?
Yep. Mm.
Did
and
you know that
again is why Marvel's going to keep dominating and Fox or WB or whoever the fuck they're stuck with just shitty people.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Zack Snyder all right. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, he's also done some really bad movies. So.
Yeah.
I think that I think a lot of the vision is coming from Marvel, and I don't think that – I think Warner Brothers has put a lot of faith into Zack Snyder's vision for the whole universe and the decisions going into it. And I think we're going to get some kick-ass movies out of it, but I do not believe that we will – when we talk later about this damn movie, I don't believe it'll be that good as what we watched this weekend, so coming out of DC. I could be wrong, but I mean, I'm just saying that.
Well, because I think in Marvel they're pulling in great talent and great directors and people who like know and care and love this universe. Not that Snyder doesn't by any means, but the problem is you have Snyder who is making the calls for all these other movies coming out. And while Joss did help definitely set up this event, like the Avengers universe, I mean, obviously we had other people.
And Josh did a one over of the script for Guardians of the Galaxy and told James Gunn to be more James Gunn and rewrite it.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like Marvel in general just has a lot more talent, more bringing in all these new, like, and young and new directors, and I feel that, like, WB almost is sticking with Snyder. I mean, I'm sure they'll pass out, you know, the other movies to other directors eventually, but I just really feel like they're just kind of, I feel like he's the one that's having to carry the weight of this on his shoulders, almost. Right?
Yeah, as to where Kevin Feige is the one who is really... being the mentor to all the films, but having hiring the people who have the vision and going that way, as to where Warner Brothers is like, if this screws up, you know, we'll probably never use you again. And, you know, you're right now, it's all on you. And so I think Marvel just has the formula for success right now. So
definitely.
Right. So, sticking with some Marvel news, we will see an Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy crossover, and it has also been confirmed to be in the works.
Of course. I mean, it's pretty much everything, especially after watching this. You can tell it's going to be something huge, and it's going to be something everyone's going to want, so it's going to happen.
Definitely.
It's going to happen is going to be interesting. So.
And that's that. I'm really... I'm really excited to see how they plan on doing it. And I mean, it can't be that hard. I mean, it's all set in the same universe, so
it is. That's what's kind of crazy. I mean, I was thinking about it later after seeing the movie, just like, how is this in the same universe?
Did you know it's
a very Star Warsy feel to it that you have to think like, well, this stuff's going on. Meanwhile, on Earth, like
the Avengers haven't really left Earth. Yeah,
I mean, if you think about it, I mean, like especially if you put into effect all the stuff that happens on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where they're getting this alien technology. Well, that means there's aliens, so it kind of works out.
Yeah,
it does, but it's just one of those like you spend so much time on like you're dealing with God, you know, like demigods and just lots of technology and people getting superhero from serums and all this stuff. And yeah, we're introduced to aliens and stuff definitely in like the Avengers movie. It still seems so broad at the same time. It's like how are they going to end up back? I mean, how are they going
to
cross?
How are they going to come to Earth? Yeah. And here's a really cool thing. I'm about to blow your minds if you didn't already know this. The mother of Star-Lord was in Captain America 1. She was one of the dancers. When he was on stage. Mind's blown.
Not the character, right? Just like the actress?
I don't know though. I just wanted to say that and I thought maybe you guys would run with it, but
probably as the actress there's no way because
that was 1940 something. Yeah, and then like the movie started off with her in like 1986.
She looked 80. Okay.
87? So, I mean, that would have put her, if she was, you know, 60. That would be 40 years later at that point. I mean,
yeah, she'd been in her 60s. She looked old.
She had cancer.
Oh. All right.
She had cancer, you sack of shit.
I'm just saying she looked old while she had the cancer. Can somebody not be old and have cancer?
No, but no. Well, I mean, no, because you die.
Okay. All right.
No.
So next,
look at her dad was standing right there, and he looked like he was 60.
No, he was 80. He had him. He had her in the
no
in his 20s.
Of age.
I'm trying to spin this so I'm right.
Good luck with that one, sweetheart.
Yeah, it was probably just the actress. So mine's not blown. Just erase that.
Not as blown.
Yeah, but still cool. We are getting a Ghostbusters 3, but it seems that it's the Ghostbusters 3 that is going to be very strange, maybe. But it could
work
out. I don't
know. It kind of goes like we were talking about earlier, man. You never know, man. Female characters.
It is being reported that we are getting a brand new reboot of Ghostbusters with female cast instead of males.
That's
so
cool.
It could, and the director of Bridesmaid, that's who they're trying to get. Sources say Variety is reporting that while Paul Feig is not in formal talks, he is definitely being courted.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I mean, if they're like cupping his balls right now.
Yeah.
Oh, you like that? Come work on our movie.
As long as they,
squeeze.
I would say this, and just like everything, I mean, it'll be a great reboot if they come up with a good story to it and everything like that, and don't make it some kind of like, hey, look, we're using women. You should watch it because of that. No, watch it because it'll be a good movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and again, I mean, look at his movies that he's done in the past with all like women cast. I mean, yeah, Bridesmaid and The Heat. So I think that he can pull off this like women lead comedies for sure. As long as my concern would be is that they would try to like Megan Fox it, you know, like, oh, they need tighter uniforms. Now, if they made that part of the joke, and like you have like these average, I don't want to say average, you know, but like I'm just thinking Melissa McCarthy in this, and they're like
curvy.
You know,
if
we
you
want
had
a better presence,
curvy.
Let's put them in these like tight uniforms, like whoever their bosses are or whatever, you know. It's like,
and then yeah, for like a scene, they come out and they're like no, and then they go change.
Yeah, I'm like I
yeah,
can't. And she's just like trying to pick it out of her ass because it doesn't.
You do
fit
know
her,
that,
you know?
She,
she's just like ah,
there's no way that she would not be casted in that movie.
She's going to be, because I think, let's see, Bridesmaid, The Heat. No, yeah, so that they have a good working relationship, I guess.
Yeah, there's
yeah, and she's good. If
she's
you're going to
awesome.
Make a comedy out of it, she's fantastic with comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy is funny as hell. Dude,
I'd like to see
her.
Some
she's
marshmallow
one of the
on her
Saturday
face.
Live and she's hosting.
Yeah. I love her, too. I would just be, I'm just worried that we're almost to the point of being oversaturated with her.
Yeah.
Because she had, like,
her
Tammy,
last,
you know,
her
stuff.
Tammy wasn't very good.
Yeah, and I just, I love her too. I think she was, she's hilarious in Bridesmaids. Like, holy fucking shit, she was hilarious.
And yeah, that Heat movie too was really funny.
Yeah, Heat was really funny too. I love her over that other chick, the British chick, who's just known for her raunchy gags. I don't like her.
Oh yeah.
The one who played
what's her name?
The one who played Fat.
You mean
Amy.
Rebel Wilson?
Yeah, yeah. Rebel Wilson. I don't.
She's Australian. She's not British.
Whatever.
Whatever.
I don't even care.
No, it's all the same.
It's
man.
All the
Whatever.
Same to me. With
they
her.
All worship the queen or some shit. I don't know.
No, if no disrespect
those
to
those our Australian crowd,
yeah, our Australian and our UK crowd. Sorry,
sorry guys.
We're just dumb Americans. So.
Yeah, we're just really dumb.
That's true.
And fat.
And chubby, if you watch
pretty
the show.
Pretty typical, right? Yeah. Dumb and fat.
Americans. That's the running jokes. So we have Quentin Tarantino, Christopher Nolan, and what's his face? Martin
Scorsese.
Scorsese is trying to save film. As we know, Kodak announced that they are getting out of the film business and no one will produce actual film that
well, there's been an update to this story because I heard yesterday that they have gone back on their word on
well
that
that's
said,
that's awesome. And
yeah, like they're like, just kidding, we're making film still.
And that's the thing, everybody was going digital and the cost to produce this film is really high and Kodak just wanted to get out of it. But there's a lot of filmmakers who still want to use film with their movies instead of all digital. And there's definitely a certain quality about film, and you know, you can see it all over Christopher Nolan's films and Quentin Tarantino's. And Martin's film sucks. No one really likes his movies, but you know, that was a joke, guys. You can laugh and it's just a joke. Everyone loves Martin.
I was saying wow, because their sales have fallen 96% just to prove how much people are going digital. We go from 12.4 billion feet
and
down
what these
449 million feet of film used per year by production. That's fucking insane.
And these production companies, what they did, Kodak announced that they were quit making it, and they just Hollywood bought up all the film and they stockpiled it because they knew it was going to run out at some point.
That's crazy. But yeah, now, like I said, I heard the other day that that they've, I guess, gone back on that and are like, whoa, hold on. No, that's not what we meant. Hold on. We'll just not make as much of it, and we're going to focus maybe on it. But no.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
Because, you know, yeah, what you do is you just make less of it, and you charge more for it, and you make more money. Bam.
Exactly. And you can, and then you may not make a ton of money, but you're making a little bit of profit.
Well, because you know that people like, again, Christopher Nolan, Martin Scorsese, and Quentin Tarantino are still going to be buying film for the sake of shooting on film because of how much better it looks. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of my best friend was in town this weekend, and he lives in New York, and he's worked on The Leftovers on HBO. He's about to start working on The Blacklist, and we were just talking about what they film with, because The Leftovers, I was just like, there's just something weird about it, and he's like, oh, it's totally digital. He's like, they use these digital cameras. He's like, they have like three different cameras. One's really nice, and the other two are just okay. And I was like, so you can tell. And he's like, oh, yeah. And we were talking because we're watching like True Detective. He's like, True Detective, that's all 35mm. It looks amazing. It looks beautiful. It looks like a movie. And he's like, that's the difference right there. You have one that's on film, and it has that film look, and it just looks amazing. And then you have digital, and people just kind of cheap out on it because like, man, whatever.
We won't even make it look like film. We'll just keep it as is. Whatevs. Well, we do have a ridiculous story of the week, which is Simon West wants to make a new Con Air, and you know, set in space.
Yeah, Tommy, you know, this dude also wins all Guardians of the Galaxy, obviously. Yeah.
Remember in the 90s when everything was set in space?
Jason.
Leprechaun in space.
Jason
X was one of my favorites.
Hellraiser in space.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can see.
Not one of my favorites.
In the 90s.
I can't wait for The Conjuring in space.
I can't wait for space in space.
Space in space.
It's just a black screen.
For like 4 hours.
Yeah. Enjoy.
That's the director's cut.
Oh, crap. All right, so every week we run down the top box office of the week, your top five, and it goes like this. Number five is Dawn of the Planet of Apes, making $8.7 million for a total of $189 million in 4 weeks at the box office. Number four is Hercules, only making $10.7 million for a total of $52.3 million. We will not see a sequel. Number three is the dance movie. Oh, no, God, that's not the dance movie. This sorry, it looked like Step Up. Number three is Get On Up, making $14 million in its first week.
Oh, man.
Number two is Lucy. It is a huge surprise. $18.3 million for a total of $79.6 million. Huge surprise only because of the fact that I still did not see a lot of push, even though you guys said you did because you watched soccer and I did not. Number one is Guardians of the Galaxy.
It was really close.
If you added Lucy's totals for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
$94 million in its opening week in, well, weekend. I mean, that doesn't even count for this week. So, number one.
US alone.
It's crazy. And that's just US. We don't have global numbers, but it would sure.
No, it was like around 150 global. And that's in the first opening weekend, and their budget for the movie is like 170. So I think they're going to surpass that.
And they broke records. It's the highest grossing movie in August. It's the, and the, something else too. So good job. Good job, Guardians.
Great job.
So
it was okay.
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, gosh.
Whatever.
Every week, we like to run down some more news, but in the gaming style of things. So without ruining anything more.
Synchronized bump. Bad bump.
We got to work on it, guys. We got to plan this out.
All right. So Mario Kart 8, of course, has been the number one seller in the past month for its for the Nintendo Wii U, but it cannot save Nintendo as they lost $97 million this quarter.
That is a fuck ton of money.
Oh, my goodness.
In a quarter. Ouch.
That's 3 months.
4 months.
I mean, what do you expect? Sorry. I mean, like,
no,
I said,
right, 3 months. I was just kidding.
Damn it, Tuck! You question myself? I know what I'm talking about sometimes.
They knew they were shooting themselves in the foot from the get-go with their marketing scheme. Like the fact, like I said, when I was working at GameStop, when this first came out, people thought it was another Wii. I had to point it out to them. People thought it was a handheld system because of the screen. Like, they were they didn't educate the customer at all. There wasn't enough first-party titles and not enough love for the third-party titles, which shot them once again in the foot. And it's like now you're sitting on a system that's almost 2 years old and you have maybe 30 to 40 titles. Mm-hmm. What do you expect's going to happen, you know? And this is coming from a Wii U owner. And I bought it because of Mario Kart, so they got me on that. But it's just, I don't know. You're not going to get great, at least until Smash Brothers. And if Smash Brothers, you could tell right now, if Smash Brothers doesn't sell as well as Nintendo wants it to, They're going to go the way of Sega. They're going to go software. There's no way. Either that or just stick to the 3DS.
Well, they've been talking. They've really been talking about this because people keep telling them, like, you need to start releasing the software side of things and get your games on. Just put them on iOS, and that's enough. Like, you would sell so much if you just put them on Apple and on Android.
Man, you guys know how I feel about this. I don't need to go off on a rant again.
Yeah. I mean, we've had this conversation on these podcasts many a times, and obviously Nintendo's not listening. Reggie's not listening in.
It's that Japanese mentality of, you know, because this is an old school company, and they still have that mentality of like, no, we're in it until the end, and we're not going to kill ourselves.
And the end is nigh.
It's really close. They may as well just take that dagger to their stomach and just debel themselves.
I think what we'll see is probably what Sega did, and it's probably going to go the same route. They're going to come out with a new console. If it does not work, like the Sega Dreamcast did not work as a last-ditch effort, we will see Mario coming to different consoles, I think.
I feel like that was the Wii U. Like, I feel like
you think so?
I feel like this is it. I mean, like, they literally, I mean, this is how it's going to have to go. Next E3, they're going to have to release a system that is on par with the PS4 and the Xbox One. I mean, like, the best thing they could do is just to kick the Xbox One. That one's ass. I mean, like, really, that's what you need to do is you need to prove that you can hang with the big boys and you can be better than.
Yeah.
If not, then like we said, they're going to have to go to software, or we're going to see the end of Nintendo, which is a shame.
And we've seen this since the Nintendo 64, is the fact that, I mean, we've talked about this again. The third party isn't there. Like, they disrespect the third party and act like they don't need them. And it's a huge smack in the face, because all of a sudden now you've alienated yourself to just rely on your Mario stable to sell your hardware, and it's just not working.
No, mm-hmm. people, I mean, you can only release so many versions of, like, Mario Party and Mario Kart. I mean, yeah, they're still fun and people still like to play them, but, like, as we have clearly seen with the fact that this game has been, like, the number one game seller for however many fucking weeks we've been talking about this, but they still are just hemorrhaging money. Like, they just can't keep it together. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, putting these Nintendo games, like classics, on iOS devices, iPads, stuff like that. Obviously, they should just keep handheld, because I think that's a good market for them, with their games especially. Like, but you release them like that, the PS Vita, stuff like that, man, fucking God, they'd make so much money. Like, I would buy the shit out of all of that stuff. I would pay $4.99 for the app or whatever for Mario.
The original
Mario game. I'd pay more to play the new one.
And they have so many in their stable that they could just go, all right, well, let's start at number one. And people would buy the crap out of them.
Yes.
And, I mean, the thing. For our listeners, I think all three of us, I mean, we've all grown up on Nintendo. We don't want to see them fail. You know, it's not like we're hating on them, but they just keep doing the wrong thing at every turn.
Yeah. I kind of feel like is that, you know, like, it's almost like disappointment. It's like, you kind of like, man, we've been here for you for so long, and you're just making really fucked up, dumb decisions. almost like it's our child somehow. Where, like, we feel like you just want to go, like, ground them to their room until they start making fucking smart decisions.
Just Nintendo, it's time for an intervention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, we will always and forever love you unconditionally.
I like that analogy.
Until you start making right decisions, stop making fucking around with this stupid Wii U shit.
I love that analogy. Nintendo is our children.
Doug hit it right on the head.
Oh, yeah, it definitely did.
It's very true. And that's why it hurts so many people, because we, especially, like you said, us three, we grew up with Nintendos. We grew up, that was the shit. That was the system to own. Mm-hmm. And to see it go from such an amazing, like, leader in innovation and gaming and everything like that to yesteryear, and now it's just, like, it's a joke, really. It's a freaking joke. It's just, it's sad to see it, dude. It's, you know, there's nothing you can do about it, because they won't listen. And if they do listen, it's too little too late. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Literally the past few E3s, it's been like, you know, can't wait for what Xbox is going to release. Can't wait to see what EA and Ubisoft are going to do with their things. Can't wait to see what Sony's going to do with theirs. And then you get to the next thing, and it's like, I guess I'll see what Nintendo's doing, because I'm just kind of curious to see how they're going to, like, attempt to catch up, or, you know, with these guys. Like, that's how it's been. That's how I felt the past few years, where I'm constantly, like, really excited to see what all these other companies are doing, because they're just, like, you know, graphics are just groundbreaking and they're doing all this really cool stuff with their consoles. And then it's just like, well, I guess I'll go see what Nintendo's doing, because you want to watch, but you don't. Especially this year, when they didn't even fucking show up and they did a stupid presentation that was this terrible.
That was two years in a row. So, speaking of iOS and what Nintendo should be doing, 2K obviously knows what they should be doing, and they are releasing BioShock on the Apple iOS software for all your iPhone and iPad needs. It's crazy. And I watched the trailer for this thing. They did have to tone down the graphics just a little bit to reach that 2 gig minimum, our maximum file size. But it looks incredible still. Like, it looks like the game that you played on your console and on PC.
When you shrink it down to, like, a little tiny iPad, you know, sure you can lose a little bit of your graphics.
But it looks great. So that should be out at some point here in the summertime, right before.
Yeah. I saw on Twitter one of our listeners, I think he posted something about, like, just like, why is this coming out for iOS? Why isn't this coming to the Vita? And it's just like, hey, well, bro,
Yeah, calm it down, man. Calm down.
It may get there. Just like, you know, they want to see how it's probably a test run. Let's see how it does here before we release it elsewhere, because people may not give a shit. Mm-hmm. You know, exactly. I may be buying it. I don't know. It depends. That game scared me.
I love that game. It did scare me a little bit.
It's so intense. It's not that it's scary. It's just intense.
You don't know what's coming around the next corner.
They make me intense. Mm-hmm. I get so fucking like just worked up over games.
Mm-hmm.
Scary ones. I can't do it. And again, this is dark. This is a dark game. Mm-hmm. But I loved the newer one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because it wasn't as scary.
It wasn't as scary, and it was really bright. It wasn't dark.
I stayed outside all the time. If I had to go inside, that's when I got scared.
Yep.
Well, we had a lot of talk of the Oculus Rift in the past podcasts, and the development kit 2 has finally gone out to developers and for people who just ponied up $300 for it. iFixit, I think that's who it was. iFixit, yeah, came out and they got one. And what do? They do best. They tear it down to see how easy it is to repair. Well, lo and behold, they took out the screen, and it's an actual Samsung Note 3 screen, literally. Mm-hmm. If you took it out, Samsung is there with the name, Samsung on the top, with the camera holes and everything. I find that very, very humorous. But it is still a development kit and all that good stuff. I mean, so, you know, obviously not production, but it's still funny.
That's crazy. I want to see one of these in action.
I really do too, and I think that I really hope that Alamo City Comic Con has one. That'd be
some
so
of my
cool.
friends that went to San Diego posted pictures because like Game of Thrones had one for this virtual thing that they were doing where you put it on and you literally they made you stand in like a cage looking thing because they put you on the wall like in the VR or whatever, and so you could like lean over and look down the side of the wall and you could look out at the wilderness and you could look out at like, I mean, but they had, you had to like stand in it because if you like, you know, you start looking over, you see it. So your brain and stuff just goes like, holy shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's like, I was like, Oh my God, that'd be so amazing. And they said it was pretty cool. Like it was like, you were like, you know, you're looking around, you're going like,
it tricks your brain to actually believe
so
you're there.
Real.
Yeah.
Good.
So Kevin just posted a link. I think we should just kind of
it's kind of relevant
it's
to
it's
kind of
relevant
to
our last story with Nintendo. Obviously with losing money, you got to come up with some strategies that are going to make you some money. Well, at the end of this month, we're going to get some Mario Kart 8 DLC. Mercedes cars.
Oh, they look terrible.
That looks so terrible.
That is
desperation. You would never see Nintendo put this in a game. When, why? What's the point?
They lost $97 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone just fucking ponied up some money. Like,
it's so insane because the Mario Kart series is known for their creativity with their carts. And this just looks terrible.
Yeah,
it looks cheap. It looks, I mean, it almost looks like a ripoff. Like someone was like, I'm gonna mob this game, bro.
Yeah, it looks like a parody. It really does.
And the sad thing is, the parody is, the joke's on us. Fanboys are pissed right now. That was just posted on Kotaku. So go check that out.
That's crazy.
You'll probably see it right at the top, and you'll see a bunch of fanboy rage all around it.
So we have some news to report. If you didn't hear, EA has a new monthly access called EA's Access Program. It costs you $5 a month or $30 a year. And it's kind of like their own little gateway to their games.
Netflix.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Netflix. You get to play all their past titles, not the new ones, but the past ones. FIFA 14, Madden 25, Peggle 2, and Battlefield 4 kick off the program. Wow. And then so you can play all you want. You can download. It's only available on the Xbox One. I think it's a pretty cool thing. If you can't really afford games, $30 a month. Now that is going to be in addition to your. Is it up to 60 now, Doug? $60 a year for Xbox Live, or 50?
I don't know. It takes it out of my bank account. I don't really fucking pay attention anymore.
Well, I
don't even know.
It could be $150, and he's just
it
like,
it could literally be $150, and I would have no fucking clue.
We'll go with $50. I think that's what
I think that's what it was last time I saw it. In fact, that should be coming out of my bank account soon, so I will get back.
My Xbox Live is $60.
Is it $60 now?
Xbox Live for 1 year of membership is $60.
Okay, so $60 plus the $30. I mean, well, it's a pretty good deal. Or you could just do the $5 a month and get access to all your EA titles.
I read somewhere that you do not need Xbox Live to have access to the EA program. So
that's cool.
There's
but,
that.
But
because
here's
they
the deal.
Have, I mean, you can now access, you know, Netflix and all that stuff without it as well. So this is another one of the things where you do not have to have. Now, if you want to play with your friends and stuff.
Yeah, then you're going to have to have it. So.
But
it's a pretty cool deal. Sony, of course, Sony came out and said that we evaluated the EA Access subscription offering and decided it does not bring the kind of value PlayStation customers have come to expect. And here's the there's two reasons why, which leads me to believe, and I'm not going to read all their quote because it's just marketing mumbo jumbo. But you have their subscription program that they're coming out with, and they're going to have a monthly fee, plus it's going to be like $2 for an hour of playtime, things like that with all their older titles. And I do believe that they really believe that in some way because of what they offer with their PlayStation Plus subscription membership, to where they give you 3 or 4 games a month for free already. Mm-hmm. So on some level, I do think that they believe that for themselves, but on another level, they go, well, that's going to eat into our rental program, so we're not doing it.
Yeah, I think that's really what it is. It's just them going like, oh, no, we don't want that competition. We want people to go through us, not through another port. But, I'm kind of, you know, I don't play a lot of sport games, but there's been times where I'm like, you know, I could play some FIFA right now. I'd play some Madden. But I don't want to drop the 30. I think FIFA 14 has been $30 for the past few weeks since the World Cup.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been like, oh, I don't know if I really want to, you know, I don't, to me, it's not $30 worth it because I don't, you know, play it for like a couple hours and I'll put it down. But $5 for a month to play it. It's a good deal.
Yeah, it is a good deal. I think that this is a win for Xbox One. I don't see how it's a bad thing to allow people to make the choice themselves on what they want. So I think it's a good deal. Speaking of the Xbox One, they're coming out with a new bundle. If you're a Madden fan, you can get Madden 15 and an Xbox One bundled coming this fall. Or not this fall, but this August, I think. So
probably when Madden comes out, I think it's like August 28th or something like that. It's always toward the end of the month.
Yeah, so look out for that. We do have some news about the Xbox One sticking with it. The Witcher dev says that the Xbox One 1080p issues unlikely to change soon. If you don't know what we're talking about, the Xbox One has been, their titles have been at 720p. Many people have been talking about the reason why is because the reserved GPU and CPU power there's been rumors that people don't know how to utilize it, or it's because of the Kinect camera, and you know, then there's been rumors that they freed that memory and people are allowed to use
there's
it
a whole
now
bunch
and,
of different stuff that goes into
everyone's pointing fingers.
Everybody's pointing fingers.
It's just one thing that you notice is the people that are developing like the games specifically for them are pushing on games with 1080p. The ones that are coming from developers, like third-party developers that are doing it for Sony and them, that's where you stop getting the 1080p in the games. And that's just because they're having to do things differently for Xbox One. And they don't want to spend the time doing it, which is fine. I understand, because you can lose. I mean, obviously, you have to rework code and all that bullshit. You're probably like, fuck this.
And
but
so,
at the same time, it kind of like, you know, it's like, well, Xbox, why'd you fucking do this?
Yeah.
But
and
also
so,
at the same time, why are you being so fucking lazy, developers? It's your goddamn job.
Well, because, I mean, it's kind of that whole same thing. Like, Xbox had it correct with the Xbox 360, and then the PS3 is the ones who messed it up. This time, the PS4 was like, all right, let's be easy, and then the Xbox One was like, all right, let's make it difficult.
Yeah, seriously, the tables have turned. And they were saying, you know, a lot of things, it's still not going to help. The DirectX 12, when that gets released, it's not really going to do much for the Xbox One.
Yeah,
they said it's not really going to change anything.
Well, they're like, oh, well, it creates more triangles and stuff, which, you know, makes like some things look better. But the fact that it's not going to change the shading and the shadows and stuff because it won't do that.
Yeah.
It's just going to add more triangles. Like, well, that's great. But it's not going to fix that problem.
Yeah.
Therefore, you're not going to get your like 1080p with your shadows and stuff.
I still think that, I mean, they've done comparisons. I think as the Council War continues, I think that right now it doesn't make a big difference, because I don't think you can see too much of a difference between the 720 and the 1080. They've already done the comparisons. They look pretty similar. When it does matter is probably 3 to 5 years from now, when we start getting the absolute high-end power out of these things and people are maxing them out. I think you'll see a difference then. But by that time, you probably see 1080p anyways on the Xbox One on every
I agree. Once, I think, again, because they did something different, because they wanted to make use more out of, like, less, essentially. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't use, like, the same RAM and stuff. They could have gone with a higher RAM. They wouldn't have needed this little piece or whatever that helps buffer all that shit and whatever the fuck it does. But hopefully by then you'll have developers and stuff that are just like, you know, they just know that extra step now, and it's just a part of their process instead of being like, fuck, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to send stuff there before it can get sent to that, you know, to that to get...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's supposed to make things faster. Like, that's the whole point of it. It's like, once you do it, it's supposed to help make all of it faster and require less, like, of the RAM, and that's why there's less of it in the Xbox One versus the PS4 and all that nonsense.
Listen, we're all getting great games no matter what system you own, so...
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I'm at this point, like, I literally don't give a fuck. Like, I don't own either of them. I'm not really, like, right now, there's nothing that's making me need to get one, at least until, like, later in the year. So, I don't know. Destiny. I played on both. I don't really give a shit either way. Like, I'll get one whenever I get one, and whatever I get is what I get. Like, I'm not playing, like, partial to anybody anymore. Yeah. It's dumb. It's a waste of time.
Hey, if you can hold out, man. I mean, and really, there isn't much out there yet.
And that's why I'm holding out.
Once you finally do pick up that system, you're going to have a ton of great games for cheap, because those games are going to be old now.
Yeah, and that's why... Because I want, you know, obviously I want Arkham Knight, I want Lego Batman 3, I want...
PC!
You know, the new Assassin's Creed, and, I mean, all those are coming for the next gen, and, like, those are the games I want, but those are not until October or later.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah,
and I go back to this, I mentioned it already, it's just the fact that... you know, the big system seller for me was Destiny, but now I've learned that it's coming to the PC. I'll have to wait, but I don't mind, and I'll save
that's
my money.
Exactly. That's another thing, man. Like, so many of these games are coming to my PC, and I play so many games on my PC now more than I ever did before.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Steam.
Thank you, Steam.
No, exactly. Like, that's another reason why I'm, like, holding off, because it's like, well, I could get...
You could spend
GTA 5 when it re-releases with the newer graphics and stuff on my you know, but again, I'm just waiting till it gets to my PC, because it'll fucking look better on that anyways.
Like, and I mean, that's the thing, is like, okay, well, do I spend $400 right now on a system, and then I'll need to spend another $60 on another controller, and then I'll need to buy the games. So now I'm in $600 right now just to play my one game that I want to play, or I can spend $60 and get the game on PC and be happy.
Yeah,
I'm good. And I'll just have to
use my 360 controller, and everybody's happy. Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of Steam, Broforce is a game that you should have if you have Steam. If you do not have Broforce, here's the really cool thing. They are releasing now this says it's a Broforce expansion. You do not need the original game, I don't believe. It's called the Expendabros, and it is featuring all the Expendables from the Expendables 3. You get some really cool levels out of it. Go download this game right now. Well, maybe after the show. But you can play it for free, see how you like it. You're going to fall in love with it, and then you're going to buy the actual Broforce game. It's incredible. It's a great game.
Yeah. This kind of explains, like, why maybe we haven't gotten much new stuff out of it. I mean, like, they put in July 3rd, I think, was their last update, but it's kind of sporadic in between is when they add new characters and stuff. But they've obviously been working on something in conjunction with the movie. Like, I've noticed that on a couple of Steam games recently as well. I wonder if someone was like, hey, we really like what you're doing. Could you please make a game?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
I'll
do
it. Why not? So.
Yeah, and so I'm getting it. Like, I'm kind of mad that I'm just now finding out about it, like, tonight, and I haven't already downloaded it because it's free.
Yeah, I've already downloaded it before the show, and I'm going to play it after we're done.
Yep, available from now until December 31st. So you've got, like,
get it.
6 months to play it,
get
or
it.
4 months. Or
playing this game will give you a beard as lovely as Doug's.
It's true. Okay. It is a true fact. It made my beard grow in thicker.
And look at my hair. This is what it did to my hair.
Give him that curly... ginger Jufro look.
For those that are listening to our show, Jeremy's hair is crazy today.
Yeah, you're getting my You're getting my hair that you would never see if we were just recording the podcast off of YouTube. So, all right. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we are going to get into what are you watching so we could talk a little more about what we all really are excited about.
But first.
Guardians of the Galaxy. But first, let me show you some dance moves.
The other things we watched.
Are you watching closely?
What is that face? Oh boy. All right, guys. We're going to talk we're only going to mention two things because we're going to spend some time, of course, with Guardians of the Galaxy last. So Doug, hit us off with two things that you've watched, played, or read with your recommendations.
All right. I saw two other movies this weekend because why the fuck not? So another movie I saw this weekend was Wish I Was Here, the new Zach Braff movie. It was really good. This is the one that he used, I think, Kickstarter to get funded.
Sweet.
You know, didn't use any studios to fund it. Kickstarted it. Paid for a lot of it himself. It's a lot of his friends in it and all that stuff. It was really good. just a quick synopsis is he's an actor, father, husband in L.A. You know, he's trying to become an actor. Obviously, so is everyone else. And then kind of finds out that his father, played by Mandy Patinkin, has cancer. Like, they thought it was going to go away. It's not. He's sick. Dad was paying for his kid's private school. Dad's now money is all tied up with his medical bills. Has to homeschool the kids. So it becomes this movie about him becoming, a better father to his kids while also dealing with the fact that he's losing his father currently. So it's really... I cried a lot. And I have a great relationship with my dad. It's all right. And if I feel like I would be absolutely devastated by this movie. Like, you know, it's one of those where I was crying already, but if I you were like, oh my God, I want this with my dad sort of thing. Like, oh my God, it would wreck me. But, and also Zach Braff played such a good dad. Like, the way that he was with the kids and stuff, that made you go like, man, I want to be that kind of dad. Like, you know, there's moments in movies and TV where you're just like, that dad is fucking awesome. And Zach Braff in this movie was one of those. Just the way he talked with his kids, like, he treated them like humans and not like, you know, like children to a degree. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people like baby their kids far past their age of being babied, and they don't treat them like humans almost. So that was really good. And then the other movie I saw was Chef, Jon Favreau's new movie that came out not too long ago, about the food truck. He's a chef. He loses his cool one day at the job because of a food critic.
Chef, I wanted to watch that. I can't wait for that.
A video of him going off on the guy goes viral. He gets fired, stuff happens, gets a food truck. It's like, it's a food movie. Like, it's one of those where you're just like, there's a lot of time spent watching them like quick shots of them like making these like amazing looking just Cuban sandwiches and just amazing food. We were sitting, like, we watched it the other night, and like, we had all already eaten dinner, and we were all going, fuck, I'm I'm so hungry right now. I'm only because I'm watching this, because this food looks phenomenal.
It's a true story. Listen, I'm fat, and listen, I'm fat because I'm gonna blame it right here on this. I'm fat because I watch MasterChef and Hell's Kitchen. I watch those, and I instantly walk to the kitchen, even if I've eaten dinner, and I go, "What is there to snack on?"
Yeah, and I'm glad we didn't have any wasn't in a place to go get snacks or whatever. But it was just like, man, oh my gosh, this food looks great, and it was good. It was a good movie. I'll say it was pretty stereotypical, like another father son movie, but not. And I don't know. It was just you watch the movie, you know how the movie's gonna play out. Like, you pretty much know. Like, you know, how it's going to go. But it was just so well done, and it was fun. It was very fun in the way that it was presented. And again, very tasty looking, everything. especially Sofia Vergara or Vergara.
wow, we actually have someone who did not, other than me, who did not get it right.
Yeah,
it's Vergara.
Whatever. There's no
that's
O
it.
At the end of that.
Vergara.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. was hilarious. John Favreau was great. John Leguizamo, dude, this is an all-star cast. It was great. Oliver Platt, Scarlett Johansson. I mean, literally great cast. It was this is one of those movies where I feel like he was like, I'm gonna make this movie and I'm just gonna hire all my friends, and that's awesome. It worked out great. It was fun.
Awesome. What else you got? Oh wait, that's your two.
That's my two.
I will. I only really did one thing this week other than the main attraction. I have been playing Grand Theft. I've been playing Saints Row 4 nonstop. I just started it this week, and it's awesome. I'm late to the party, but it's a lot of fun. They have a dildo on a stick, and you hit people in the butt with it. And they have a dubstep gun. And it, you make them dance.
Sofia Vergara.
I told you. and so that's all I got. So go play that if you don't have it. So all right, Mr. Kevin.
I finally finished Deadpool versus Carnage. It was fantastic. It was everything I thought it would be. And it was cool because Carnage became more of a badass in that than he normally does. He had to, kind of come up to become one with the symbiote to beat Carnage. But it was cool. I like that a lot. I also just picked up The Last of Us on PS4. Now, I previously finished The Last of Us on PS3, but I really wanted to see what it would be like, 1080p, 60 frames a second. Plus, I never really got around to playing their DLC, Left Behind. So I just picked that up, and it's effing gorgeous. I mean, the game looks awesome. I mean, it looked already good to begin with, but, I mean, there's just so much that they've done in it. They have also thrown in a photo mode where you can stop the game at any point and take a photo from any angle. So you can get some really cool and really creepy stuff. The sound, they fixed the sound where, I mean, the sound is already great, but if you have Sony's specific headphones, they actually have a custom setting for it, so they you can get the true definition of what they wanted to achieve with it. So it's great. It's fantastic. So I'm falling in love with that game all over again. So that's pretty much besides the big one. That's all I've been doing.
That's awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so we all went to, at this point in the podcast, we're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. If you have not seen this movie, then go ahead and turn off the podcast now. Come back and re-listen to the end. But we don't want to give away any spoilers because we will talk about this film and some spoilers that we really love. So we just want to give you that heads up. Turn us off right now, please, but finish later. And guys, the biggest thing that we all came out of this was, for me, we talked about this in the pre-show, our thoughts on it. What did we think of the film? And after seeing it, I wanted to say instantly that it was my favorite Marvel film yet. But I didn't want to put it out there like that because I tend to get overly excited about movies until they simmer down a little bit. And so I let this one simmer for a few days. And I can now officially say that this movie has beat out Avengers and Iron Man, and I mean, it's my favorite. It's great. It's awesome. It's my favorite Marvel film.
Agreed.
Fully agreed.
Yeah.
I was the same way. Like, my top three were, I mean, it was before this weekend. It was Avengers, Cap 2. And I would say the third one before Guardians of the Galaxy probably had to be, and it sucks, I won't say X-Men, but I can't say that because it's Fox. Yeah. But, I mean, as far as other ones go, probably Iron Man 3. And then Iron Man 3 got knocked out. I'd now say fucking Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers, Cap 2.
Same. Exactly the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I was talking about this in the pre-show. Just, we watched that movie, like Friday morning when we went and saw it, and then we're talking and we're like, man, that was fucking epic, but was it as good as Cap 2? We're like, man, Cap 2 earlier this summer, I mean, that set the standard for like summer movies this year. It was so awesome. It was so good. And So we were like, oh, but was it as good as that? I mean, you know, we've kind of, you know, it's been a couple months. We remember it was really good. So we watched Cap 2 that night. We went and we watched it again. And yeah, it was better than Cap 2. Like, Cap 2 was great, but this one just,
yeah,
man, it was awesome.
I think I said this on last week's show where I said that it reminded me, like, Chris Pratt's character, Star-Lord, I said, this is this generation's Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
And then after seeing this, I mean, obviously when the, you know, Rocket Raccoon and Groot had a very chewy Han Solo kind of a vibe as well.
Definitely.
But Star-Lord really represented that whole package that Han Solo is, and yeah, it was just incredible to watch. And I really, and Kevin said this, I agree with it. You know, this is what Star Wars needs to aim for, to be,
mm-hmm,
like, it's this, yeah, is, and that's the thing that kept racing through my head. I don't know about you guys, but I said, wow, this thing is Star Wars without Star Wars. When I saw the space battle, when I saw the, you know, the ships fighting and everything going back and forth, I was just like so amazed. I was like, oh my god, I'm geeking out so much right now. And
you could almost draw comparisons to almost every character. I mean, like, we talked earlier about how Thanos could is the emperor to Marvel as, mm-hmm, the emperor,
mm-hmm, Palpatine,
right? This is Star Wars. And okay, but here we go. Obviously, Peter Quill, Star-Lord, is Han Solo. I think, mm-hmm, that kind of goes without saying. You can almost, in this case, just for this illustration, we're going to say Thanos is Vader, Luke is Gamora.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Because, again, it's like all about, like, your father's coming after you, you want to get away, mm-hmm, all that shit. Okay, mm-hmm, and then, well, we did have that Chewie R2 moment, or not Chewie, Chewie Han Solo movement. I'm going to say R2-D2 and C-3PO for Rocket and Groot.
Yeah, I could see
only
that.
Only one, because it actually says, like, words that mean something, and the other one talks to him. Like, the other one, like, responds, and you're, mm-hmm, like, what the fuck did he say? He just,
and I don't even think that he was responding. Like, I don't think he understood anything he said. I think that Rocket Raccoon, honestly, was just crazy, making it up. You know?
Yeah. Which, you gotta wonder, how many times is C-3PO just fucking around, too?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And then, I mean, Drax, I mean, I guess you could put him as like Chewie, just because he's a big, bulky, muscular motherfucker who's gonna rip your arms out if you don't let him win his game, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, that, I mean, I'm seriously just like, oh my god, it's the same ragtag group. It's the same.
Yeah.
And the actors did a fantastic job. Like, honestly, I'm a huge wrestling fan. Anyone who knows me knows I fucking geek out over wrestling. So when I heard, like, Dave Bautista was going to be Drax, I was a little bummed, because I was like, you know, because I wasn't a big fan of his wrestling career. But he fucking killed it. Like, that was easily, especially after watching Man with the Iron Fist, I was like, eh, Bautista, whatever. Mm-hmm. Dude, he redeemed himself in every single way. Like, I look up to this dude now. He did such a fantastic job as Drax.
Nothing.
And I loved that he was able to joke with himself, too. Because, like, the whole time, when, you know, he takes everything too literally. Where they're like, oh, it's over your head. Nothing gets over my head.
I will catch it.
Yeah.
I'm too fast. Don't catch it.
Great, you know?
Yeah, like,
so good.
The first few moments that he was on screen and stuff, and he had some lines, I remember kind of thinking, like, man, I don't know if I like his delivery of these lines. But then you kind of, you like, oh, this guy is just an idiot. Like,
yeah,
he's just kind of like literal. Like, he just, and I was like, oh, well, that makes a lot more sense for how he's delivering his lines. Like, it's perfect. But at first I was just like, I'm not feeling it. And then it was like, oh no, it's that is the character. Like, it makes perfect sense, and it's perfect.
Why would I put my finger across his throat? What's that gonna do?
It's like the universal sign for you're gonna kill someone, right? You've seen that, right? Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And then he looks at Drax and he goes, haven't seen it. Nope.
No, this is new.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So good.
So what was your guys' favorite Guardian? If you had to pick one.
Oh, man, that's tough, man. Okay. I loved Rocket, man. Rocket.
Yeah.
The second that he gets that gun in the prison, and it's the one that's in the trailer. So if you're still listening and you don't want to be too spoiled, I don't know why you're still listening, first off, but it's in the trailer where he's just on Groot's shoulder and he's just like, da, 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 you know, and he's just like
Yeah, I got such shooting. A raise out of like my chest started like I got adrenaline and I was like, oh yeah.
Because what I love about that is just that you see this like epic action scene where he and Groot, I mean, just shooting that gun and all the stuff's going on, and then it just cuts to like Peter trying to get that fucker's leg.
Yeah.
Like it was just like this huge epic scene, and then like meanwhile over there
he's just sitting down epic.
Like it's just like, hey man, I need your leg.
He's like, well, yeah. Why do you need my leg? Oh my gosh, Groot! We're going off course here, but Groot had his Hulk moment.
Yeah,
that was awesome. That was so, I was just like, oh my god, this is so
cool.
Yeah,
they smiled at the camera.
Smile! The whole theater erupted when he smiled, and that was so special, man. Okay, so Kevin, what was your favorite? Who was your favorite?
I gotta go with Star-Lord, just because, for one, Chris Pratt's an amazing actor. I loved him on Parks and Rec, and just everything I've seen him in, I think he does a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. And he just has that character, you're right, like the Han Solo, where he can be not even quite a jerk, but he can be a smartass and still get away with it and still make you feel for him, especially watching the intro. Like 10 minutes of the movie, you felt really bad, you know, the situation that he gets into. So, yeah, I mean, it's just like he's a character that, like, dude, I can get behind him everywhere. Like the beginning of the movie when he's walking through the cave and he's got his music playing and just fucking dancing and having his Indiana Jones moment, you know, where he's about to get some shit. It's so good. And the soundtrack. Who's yours, Jeremy?
You know, when I was asking it was easier, but you're right. It's very difficult to pick one. I'm gonna have to go with Doug and say Rocket Raccoon. I really want to say Star-Lord. It's a really close second, but Rocket Raccoon.
He's such a great character. Like I was gonna say Star-Lord too, but it's so tough.
It really is. His lines and then the way he delivered it and the way that. I really thought that Bradley Cooper wasn't, like, I watched the trailers and I was like, ew. Like, I was like, ow. And I was like, this is not going to work. Ow.
My God.
Ow.
I can't even.
Ow. 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 And I really thought he wasn't going to pull it off. And then the movie, I was just like, they couldn't have picked a better person. This is awesome.
Yeah. I agree. Like, I mean, I remember, like, kind of being excited. I was like, oh, man, Bradley Cooper for Rocket. That's kind of cool. That's a really unique. And, like, and then the trailer, he doesn't say a lot in the trailer. And it was kind of like,
screaming.
It's okay, I guess. And then the movie, like, one of my favorite scenes, like, I mean, because, you know, he's also, like, a little crazy, and he's funny, and he says, like, he's kind of an asshole. But the one scene, man, where he gets drunk and he goes off, and you kind of get a hint of his backstory and how utterly fucked up it is, was one of, like, the most real moments for, like, some of the characters in that movie. Not that it was like 2D or any by any means, but just like that moment, I was like, man, holy shit. Like, this, how are you evoking emotions out of me with a fucking CG raccoon?
The raccoon.
Yeah. Like, man, I want a Rocket movie. I want to see him go fuck these dudes up that did this to him.
Yeah,
for real.
Rocket Origins.
You know, the character that I did not expect to have a huge role but ended up having a huge role was Michael, is it Rooker? Is it Roker?
Michael Rooker.
He played Yondu, and which is the gentleman who picked up Star-Lord from Earth. And, you know, his character, I mean, it rivals Ronan, in my eyes at least. I mean, as far as I know, Kevin, you said that he is a kind of anti-hero. I do believe that Doug said, you know, that we'll probably see him in a larger enemy kind of role.
To continue the Star Wars thing, he is the Boba Fett.
Oh yeah.
To Peter Quill's Han Solo.
And I mean, he had so much presence on screen. Like he stole a lot of the scenes, you know, just by being there. He was that good. He was that good, and I really loved him. But the question is, who had more presence? Was it Ronan or was it Yondu? Do you think? Who stole the scenes more when they were in them? Do you think?
Rooker for sure stole the scenes more, just because he's that type of actor, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Slither and The Walking Dead, like all the stuff that he's in, anytime he's there, like he just commands the scene. Like that's just that is just Michael Rooker.
Yeah,
I think that's why they also casted him, is that he played that character so well.
Yeah,
and
he did.
Like the whole like kinetic arrow thing or whatever that was
awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah. That was.
And, I mean, it was just, it was really cool.
And then the scene where he took out the entire army, like I was mind blown.
Yeah. That's another one that made me laugh because, like, you know, he does his thing and they all fall down and that ship is there and then it just goes boom. It crashes and explodes. It was just so funny because it was just hanging there and it didn't, like, kind of go off to the side and crash. It just went, like, it just hung there and then straight down and exploded.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cartoony that's some of the stuff that made this movie so good is that it had, like, the moments with Rocket that are so
over the top.
Yeah, like with him on Groot's shoulders shooting, then you have the moments where he's like, you know, you learn about his backstory and how it's damaged him. But then you have these cartoony moments where ships just fall out of the sky and explode.
And then, let's not forget the Groot dance.
Oh, literally the cutest thing I have ever seen in my fucking life. Like, the cutest.
It was so odd. And then he'd stop when Drax was looking and then go back.
You know that's going to be a toy.
I would buy it immediately. Like, I mean, I think, like, the day the movie came out, I think I saw Loot Crate post on their Facebook, like, the coming soon, you know, and it's, like, one of those, it's sound, like, music-activated sort of thing.
It's got to happen. It's got to happen.
I'll buy it.
I would buy it. Are you kidding me? Like,
oh, yeah. I would definitely.
I saw someone else post on Etsy right now.
I saw that.
Already created a Groot like figure.
The wooden figure. Yeah.
Yeah. They've already like carved it. It looks like the one from the movie, and it's in a bowl, and it's like $50-something.
Nice.
But it, like, you know, it's really well done. Mm-hmm. First off,
it is.
Like, how do you have? Who has the time?
Somebody was like, "Let me bust this out this weekend."
Yeah, it's just, I mean, because it looks just like the one from the movie, so it's just insane.
Really great.
But I think I sent you guys a GIF of it like that afternoon because it was immediately on Tumblr because it was just.
It was great.
So good. I was adorable. I want that like in my life.
Okay, so we got two more things to get through. We'll wrap this up. Okay, there was a cameo at the end of the movie, and it was Howard the Duck.
Yes!
Nobody expected it. Half the theater went, "Who's that?" And then the other half went, "Yeah!"
And I was the only one in my theater to scream audibly, "Yes!" Everyone looked back at me, and I was the only one.
Really? My theater was like, I heard from above me, and I was like, "Wait, who's the duck?" And like, I knew instantly who it was, and I was just like, "Oh!" It was awesome.
There was definitely some confused, like, "Huh?" in ours, but then there was an equal amount of like, "Oh my gosh!" Just that, like, what? Why? But that's kind of how I felt. I was like, I mean, that movie sucked.
Obviously. Well, they don't have the license because it did say in the credits right afterwards, it says, "Thank you, LucasArts, I guess they do have the license because it's owned by Disney now.
Yeah, I guess who owns that? So the way the licensing and stuff work, I mean, they haven't made a Howard the Duck movie in like 30 years. I'm sure they don't hold those anymore.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Let's go buy the rights.
Yeah, for real.
No, Marvel's got it now, man. They just put him in a movie.
For real.
Yeah.
And Seth Green voiced him.
Yeah, apparently it was Seth Green that did the voice of him, which was
that's pretty neat.
Yeah,
dude, I will watch a Howard the Duck movie. I don't care what you guys said. That was a part of my childhood. As bad as that movie was,
mine too.
I loved that fucking movie. And come on, you could not. Like, that was the hottest part of what's her name's life.
Oh.
Fucking McFly's mom.
Hell yeah. She was fine.
Leah Thompson. Mm-mm-mm. The hottest Leah Thompson's ever been was in that movie, dude. Oh.
You ain't lying. All right. So we don't really have to do this, but obviously we're going to. Give us a score 1 through 10. Doug, go.
1 through 10, man. Oh, fuck this. God damn. You know how much I hate, like, I rarely give anything a 10 out of a 10 because there's always something, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'm going with a 9.8. A 9.99999. There's something in there that's wrong, and I don't know what it is right now.
Kevin?
We'll have to go see it again. I gave it a fucking 10. I don't care.
Yeah.
I thought it was unbelievably cool. Like I said, everything was done right in my eyes. I don't really think they could have messed it up. You know what? But once again, I only saw the movie once and my jaw was dropped the whole time. I think I have to go see it again.
For sure.
And maybe it might change a little bit, but no. I
mine
mean,
is,
the movie,
yeah.
Unbelievable.
Mine is a 10 as well. And it's funny because, watch, we'll all go see it again. And then next week we'll be like, That movie actually really fucking sucked, guys.
It was like a
7. It's a 7.
I'm glad I stuck with that 9.99. Yeah. You know, like, you losers that gave it a 10.
Turns out I was just really stoned.
All right, so that is our show, guys. Please go see Guardians of the Galaxy if you have not. And we told you you shouldn't be listening to this anyways. But go see it again. Support it. It's great, wonderful. We all loved it. It's at the top of all three of ours Marvel's list. And my movie of the year so far.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's only August. Things could change.
Things could change. I mean, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles does come out next week, so it could change.
I am going to see that on Thursday night. I got tickets. So.
Oh, man.
I mean, dude, I already gave it without even seeing it, it's already, no matter what, I don't think it's going to get higher than a 7, and you could blame Megan Fox for that shit.
You know what? I just read the a review of it, and they were like, this movie should not have been called the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It should be called, hey, I'm following Megan Fox, and sometimes I see a turtle. There is...
No.
Yep, they literally said, and I hope I don't ruin this for anybody, they said... The first 10 minutes, you see the turtles, then you don't see them again for another 20 minutes. And